From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. This year's list of Oscar nominees for Best Film is heavy on nostalgia. Think The Artist, Hugo, Midnight in Paris. We go to the movies to escape news of home foreclosures and economic disparity, after all. One exception is Margin Call, a smart, tightly wound thriller nominated for Best Original Screenplay. The film tracks the key players and catastrophic decisions made at a venerable investment firm over 36 crucial hours.
Sir, if those assets decrease by just 25%, that loss would be greater than the current market capitalization of this entire company.
How long would it take to clear that from our books?
You cannot be doing what you're thinking of doing.
Sell it all today.
You're selling something that you know has no value.
So that we may survive. There are three ways to make a living in this business. Be first, be smarter, or cheat.
Look at these people wandering around with absolutely no idea what's about to happen.
Margin Call closes in on the boardrooms and town cars where power grabs and willful contortions of the truth play out with spectacular consequences. The New Yorker's David Denby named it one of the strongest American films of the year and easily the best Wall Street movie ever made. J.C. Shandor directed Margin Call, his first feature, and is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. J.C., welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations. High praise indeed. Easily the best Wall Street movie ever made. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from you, but are there enough made?
First of all, I'm not sure I entirely agree with Mr. Denby's assessment there, but I certainly will take the praise for the film. No, I mean, to answer your first question, at Sundance last year, before people had really gotten a chance to see the film, the number one question I was getting asked was, do we really need another film on this topic? And hasn't this already been beaten like a dead horse? Frankly, I feel, you know, that this is such a ripe topic, that there is so many different angles, and it's something that affects so many people's lives, and frankly, it has a lot of sort of dramatic consequences to it. I think it's something we need to be looking at as artists and filmmakers and audience members.
Well, it is funny. I mean, the economy and what happened to the economy is clearly a preoccupation outside of the multiplex, but movie makers just don't want to do it?
I think there's a real fear from the financiers and from the distribution companies that audiences aren't drawn to this. I disagree with that to a certain point, but, you know, it takes guts to put money down, lots of money down, to go make a movie. We made this film for just north of $3 million, even with this big, amazing cast that we attracted. We still had to do it essentially at a shoestring budget in the film world, and that was just because there really was a fear of tackling this topic.
Well, the writing, I'm sure, is what attracted them. I mean, that is why you were nominated for an Oscar, after all. And you attracted Jeremy Irons, Stanley Tucci, Demi Moore, Kevin Spacey to make this film with you. How do you get something like that in front of them?
Getting them to say yes is not the hardest part. What's actually the hardest part is getting them to show up.
Right.
And there is a big difference. And so in between having actors saying yes, you actually have to go out and get the money so that it's actually there ready to be spent. And then you have to, on a film like this, you have to try and schedule them all to show up at the same place and the same time. And that was almost a fatal flaw of this project, was actually trying to herd all these cats into the same place.
Well, here are some of the cats that you were able to get. We're going to hear another clip from the film. Here's Paul Bettany. He plays the pit boss, Will Emerson. He's out having a smoke. Zachary Quinto as Peter, and Penn Badgley here playing Seth. And they're asking him how he spent his $2.5 million salary.
All right, let's see. So the tax man takes half up front, so you're left with 1.25. My mortgage takes another 300 grand. I sent 150 home for my parents, you know, keep them going. So what's that?
800.
All right, 800. Spent 150 on a car, about 75 on restaurants, probably 50 on clothes. I put 400 away for a rainy day.
That's smart.
Yeah, as it turns out, because it looks like the storm's coming.
Still got 125.
Yeah, well, I did spend $76,520 on hookers, booze, and dancers, but mainly hookers.
Very intimate scene between the three of them. Very knowing. There's this kind of exceptionalism about, you know, the flagrant spending habits that he somehow deserves it, I guess. I wondered how you get into the intimacy of that world of traitors.
In this case, I really did know a lot of these characters in one way or another and had seen people, you know, like my father, who spent their entire career with one company, and in many of my friends' cases, people who were sort of brought into this world and then spit back out. So, you know, I felt that I was almost bringing sort of a very interesting viewpoint, which is someone that had worked in this world, it's very hard to really ever step outside of it. And then from someone who's totally on the outside, it's a very difficult world to ever really break into. I had the best of both worlds. I really never had any allegiances from something that I had experienced myself, but yet I had seen so many people in so many different facets of my life deal with the lifestyle. And so I was always trying to be fair and truthful to these characters. In some cases, these are people who are exceptional. They're the most well-educated, they're brilliant, highly motivated, they've been working towards this end. Many of them since the first day they stepped into high school or college, this is something that they wanted to do. And in others, it's people who kind of lucked into it. And so, you know, hopefully in watching the film, you get, you know, a real cross-section of why these people ended up where they are, and most importantly, why they're making the decisions that they did, not always good decisions.
Here's CEO John Taldi, played by Jeremy Irons. Now, he basically swoops in for this emergency meeting, 2 o'clock in the morning, and calls everybody together. Let's just hear a clip from the film Margin Call.
Where is this going to come back to us?
Everywhere.
Sam, I don't think you seem to understand what your boy here has just said. If I made you, how would you do this?
Well, you call the traders in for the normal 6:30 meeting and you be honest with them, because they're going to know it's the end either way. So you're going to have to throw them a bone, and a pretty big one. And then you've got to come out of the gate storming. No swaps, no nothing. 40% done by 10:15. By 11 o'clock, all your trades have to be gone, because by lunchtime, word's going to be out. And by 2 o'clock, you're going to be selling at 65 cents on the dollar, if you're lucky. And then the feds are going to be in here up your ass trying to slow you down.
That's a scene from the film Margin Call. Simon Baker there, Jeremy Irons, and Kevin Spacey, three terrific actors in a terrific film. We're speaking with J.C. Shandor. He is the director of the film, and he's nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. Often in this film, there are just 3 or 4 people in suits in a room, but it felt like a thriller,
yeah.
You know? I mean, when did you know that you had it in your screenplay?
I don't know. I think maybe not until the 3rd or 4th day of shooting, when I actually started to see the rough cuts of some scenes that we had shot with these type of actors going at it in this way, I started to get pretty excited. But, you know, that tension really was something that I, you know, I wouldn't want to admit to this to my investors or the people that put themselves at risk here to make the film, but I don't know where the confidence came from that we producers and filmmakers that we thought we could pull it off. We just felt that with the right performances and really a contained, hyper-contained environment, which is what the film is, it's a potboiler, really, we'd be able to create this tension that would move the film forward while still having some navel-gazing and some real contemplation about what they're doing.
Well, it's a lot of pluck and clearly a lot of vision. And it strikes me that the last time I understand you were behind the camera was for an energy drink ad, you know, so commercials pretty much done by committee. You know, you've got the agency, you've got the client, and a lot of opportunities to thwart creativity along the way. I wondered how you found it as a filmmaker independently making those decisions. You sound very confident, but it must have been terrifying at points.
Yeah, I think I had waited so long for this opportunity. Looking back on it, there was sort of a blind confidence that I'm not quite sure where it came from. I think I've always been, frankly, a little bit of an overconfident person. But I think the neat thing for all of us in this was we did kind of fall back on this script. It was what had gotten us all here in the first place, including all these actors. It's what brought us all together. There really was very little improv. Paul Bettany, really his character was the only one that we really went a little bit outside the box with and played with a little bit. Besides that, most of these actors are very classically trained, hyper-talented actors who believe that the script is what got them there. And sometimes I had a tendency as the writer, as well as the director, to want to maybe tinker a little bit on set, and you'd get a look from Kevin Spacey or Jeremy Irons that would sort of say, you know, look, let's stick with what we got here. I'm pretty sure we thought it worked then, and I think it's working now. And so we clung to that, and that was really my security blanket. And, you know, the other kind of amazing thing where I've been involved with some films along my career that aren't very good, and you kind of feel them going off the rails as you're making them, and then even more dreadfully as you're trying to edit them, you just see that it's not clicking in the way that you had hoped. In this case, it was the exact opposite. I knew exactly the film that I wanted to make. I'd been at this long enough to have the confidence to just stick with that vision, that original concept. And once we started to see those scenes come together, we knew we were starting to build what I had wanted. And whether that was going to be good enough or not, now, I didn't know that, but I knew the film that I wanted to make. And so I just put my head down and sort of kept walking into the wind.
Well, one of the strongest American films of the year, says David Denby. Congratulations to you, and best of luck at the Academy Awards.
Thanks so much for having me.
J.C. Shandor, he is nominated for a Best Original Screenplay Oscar for his film Margin Call, which he also directed. We have much more on the film, including some of those stellar reviews, at wordofmouthradio.org. And stay with us. Winter Pills lifts us from the February doldrums when Word of Mouth continues from NHPR.